I love the camera so much. Yeah. Shout out to the Summit for that beautiful photo, though. Oh.
Term.
Wow. I would like to.
Might actually have to edit that.
That's so funny.
Yo.
Well,
we're back.
We're back.
Hey. Welcome to another exciting episode. Is it exciting?
I love I'm not supposed to be here. Come on, stop.
I love it too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to temper expectations. Right? You know, I like to throw curveballs every now and then. But no. Welcome back to another episode. This week, I'm still your host. You haven't canceled me, Trent L. Dixon. I'm sitting here with the lovely, the talented,
eclectic sage in the building.
Right next to him is my main man,
who doesn't have a cool name. I'm Stephen. Hi.
We're going to call him Stephen the Ponytail.
Can we not?
That's terrible. And then next to him is Derek.
Hey.
Welcome back, Derek. Your second episode here. Give it up to Derek. Woo!
Glad to be back.
Oh, wow.
I'm
Whatever.
Whatever. Track on.
Y'all are going to respect Derek's name.
Shout out to you, Derek. For real. This is my first time meeting you, so I appreciate it.
But he's a dope individual.
Yeah, I love your glasses.
Thank you.
And I do love your luscious locks.
Right? He didn't always have that haircut.
Yeah, I was talking to both of you guys.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yo, I feel like your hair has attributed to like your growth, and now I see it. I was like, wow, he's grown as a person. I remember when you first came back to the. you know,
funny every time
you had this you had a more enlightened perspective, and I think you were sort of during our time at Comic-Con when you first left the Summit, you were exploring a lot of that with therapy. But I was like, wow, I was really impressed with your growth, so I'm happy to see you continue to grow.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
You're one of my inspirations doing that
too. So sweet. Can I get a well high for that? Well high. Yeah, why so well high?
In the building.
In the building.
Oh my gosh. Well high for you guys is like that. There's a dude that like screams extra crazy loud, so we give him a name.
Well, it's actually historically, it's actually there was a name for it. The Wilhelm scream.
Yeah.
I think we just started calling him Wilhelm for the show because, you know, that's what
very close.
But no, so something, I guess I'll bring it to the table. Something that's been on my mind lately is these ideas of rituals, you know, why we do things and, you know, what they represent to us and how they pay homage to things. I've been thinking about that because, recently, my aunt's birthday just passed.
Yeah.
And she died back in 2022. God damn it. I keep putting us 10 years.
10 years in the past.
Actually, 20.
My condolences.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's something that I deal with every day. You know, if you see me out in public, that means it was a chore to get up because of that. Like, it's something that, like, she was just literally one of my favorite people. And also had someone pass this year. But anyway, my father also passed away back in 2003. And so I have these rituals that I really haven't told anybody this, but I have these rituals that I do for them. So for my dad, one of my fondest memories of him was we would go to the dollar movie and right across was an arcade. So what we would do is we'd go get our tickets and then we go to the dollar movie. And then we go over across the street to the arcade and he'd play pinball and I just run around and play whatever video game that came out. So, you know, on his birthday, what I would do is, you know, I would go see a movie and then I'd go to an arcade, just a little something I would do by myself. And then for my aunt, I decided that I would only listen to Elton John because that was her favorite artist that whole day. And I don't know, it's kind of been on my mind because I don't know. I was thinking about it and I was like, no one really knows about these things but me, and these are traditions that are going to die with me. So is there something more that I can do that would impact the world more? But I was curious to see if you guys have any traditions like that to honor, not even just to honor the fallen, but just sort of throughout your daily lives that sort of help you cope with something or, you know.
Don't have one at the moment.
My bad. I just dropped that.
No.
It's just kind of out of nowhere. But that's amazing. Been on my mind.
Amazing question.
Lately.
Also, one, I guess, insight, or I guess one feeling that I feel. It's not really insight. I think it's okay for letting personal rituals, like, go with you. Mm-hmm. Because it just speaks to the fact that in the scale of the universe, there's things that are you. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that you existed at this point in time, and that's all you need to know. I think that's a very powerful statement in itself. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a matter of framing it that way. Like, although it's just me, I can pass this to mm-hmm. my friends, myself. But the choice of just doing it by myself, whether anybody accepts it or not, that's a beauty in itself. Mm-hmm. Similar to, like, when you make music for yourself, I think that's a somewhat a ritual for me. Sometimes I make myself a song, mm-hmm. and it's just, like, just for the satisfaction.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be for anybody else. It's not supposed to be for just because, or taking photos for yourself or doing stuff for yourself. I find that to be a ritual. Like, combing your hair is a ritual or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I notice when I'm stopped doing those rituals that I'm not in the same space, because that means I'm not being attentive to myself. Mm-hmm. And I find that that's when I kind of see it as like a warning sign. So that's what, for me, at least at this current time, because I remember when I had my dog pass away, it was a very similar situation. Like, it disrupted my usual rituals with him. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you have a dog, you walk your dog every day. So it became a thing of, like, a chore to come outside. And then I was outside and always talked to everybody in the neighborhood, to not having that social interaction. Mm-hmm. And you kind of miss, don't realize, like, all the little things that come attached to something that you do. And so, like, finding new rituals or just little rituals is also important, at least for me at this current time. And breaking out of, like, the ritual of having to go to school is, like, my biggest thing for this time period.
Yeah. No, you're right. And to clarify, I don't have any qualms. I don't have any problems with those rituals dying with me. I guess I was thinking more so. And I kind of do it already. It kind of reinforces how I want to. What I was thinking of is how I want to, the rituals I want to create to help affect the world and show the kindness and the love that those people showed me. And I think I do it already.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of trying to figure out a way to make it bigger. But no, also another side note, I think that's a great episode name, Little Rituals.
No ritual. That.
That's a bar. But how about you guys?
I never really, I guess, saw it as like a ritual, but I guess kind of looking at it now, I suppose it kind of is. My ritual and just is kind of like escapism for me, and then that escapism takes the form of reading, to kind of, you know, go back to mm-hmm. my original episodes on the podcast, why I was invited over here. When I go too long without reading, something in me becomes unglued. I don't want to say unhinged, because that sounds kind of, you know, crazy, but something doesn't kind of sit right. And there have been several times in my life where I use reading as a form of escapism to, and also as a form of coming to grips with the world around me, kind of like a double-edged sword. Yeah. And there have been several times in my life where I'm faced with something in my life where that kind of, it derails that. And even my normal escape isn't enough to get me out of that. But after a time, I always find my way back there. I always find my way to that ritual of, you know, of reading and trying to escape to another world.
Yeah.
My ritual is I always try to do something new every day, whether it's like a small thing or a big thing. So, like, for example, like, I would normally, let's say, walk a certain path, go home. One day I'll just be like, you know what, let me just take a different path. Because I feel like when I try something new every day, it keeps me fresh and it keeps me open-minded to the new possibilities. Because you never know what you're going to see taking a different path. Like, I remember one day I was taking the bus and I accidentally just missed my stop. So it wasn't actually on purpose, but it was something new. And then I got off the stop after. And then when I got off the stop, I saw an old classmate. I was like, wow, if I didn't take this path, I wouldn't have seen it.
Absolutely.
So that's like a ritual I try to do every single day. No matter how small it is, I try something new just because it's like, keeps me open-minded and never know where it's going to lead me, because staying the same is really boring to me. So I always try to be a newer person every day, a better person of myself.
I love that. Yeah. I do that sometimes too. I take like different, I will take a different route. And to your point, it keeps me stimulated and it keeps me, I guess, in ways engaged in the world around me. And I start to notice new things as I take different paths. And it also helps me be more present as well. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Stephen, we actually talked about that. I've mentioned it a couple times. Like if I don't, we were talking about being creative. If I don't create for a while, I start to get a little, you know, uneasy. Mm-hmm. It's weird. And I just started drawing again. Like, consistently, because there's a project I want to finish, and it feels so right. Like I'm not as good as I want to be, but I'm building up to it, you know. And it's sort of that's where my safe space is. It's like that, like drawing and reading, and it's like where those things were, like you had mentioned. Because I remember when we were coming back to the second part of the reading episode, and I remember you had told that beautiful story about how that's something that connected you with your mom. I was so trying to find, I was trying to find who or what it connected me to. And I think for me, in a lot of ways, it was the opposite. It was about disconnecting from the environment around me, because I felt so other and I felt so different, you know, that it became a place where I can go and be myself and be accepted. But I mean, you know, it's not a bad thing, and it's not, I don't want to like speak like I didn't have love in my life, because I'm very fortunate. I came from, you know, my mom, she told me, "I love you every day." And I know I'm very fortunate for that, because not a lot of people get to hear that, you know, not a lot of people get to be in a home where they felt loved, you know.
I could speak on that too. Like growing up, I had a lot of trauma and a lot of things that I went through that I feel like wasn't normal. Mm-hmm. And I never felt loved or accepted for who I was. And I think like my path nowadays is just trying to find things that I actually enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. And being okay with it and accepting mm-hmm. who I am as a person, and even being able to reveal anything about myself. Like, I rarely tell people things about myself, not because I don't want to, but it's because it's really hard for me, because whenever I did in the past, the ones that I thought were there for me turned out to not be there for me.
Yeah.
So it kind of made me feel like I had no voice and no one really cared mm-hmm. how I felt or what I had to say. So in me nowadays, my journey is kind of like finding people who accept me and me accepting myself, which is the biggest thing, because I feel like I am my worst enemy, like most of the time. Like a lot of things I do it because I want to, but it's just hard for me to do it.
Yeah.
So
I have a follow-up question, if you don't mind answering. Yeah, you say, when you're talking about not feeling loved, you know, in your family, you say it wasn't normal. Was there ever a point where that not receiving love felt normal to you? Like, did you ever think this is what families are and this is how it's supposed to be? Or did you always know that this is not it, you know?
I think subconsciously I always knew like what home was wasn't home. It's never felt like home to me.
Yeah.
And I noticed this since I was younger too, right? I would go to my cousin's house, like this was when I was in like elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always want to sleep over on the weekends. Yeah. And part of me was always like, why is that? I didn't think about it at the time.
Yeah.
But now
yeah.
looking back at it, the reason why is because I never want to go home. Because home was never home for me. It was always yelling or
mm-hmm.
something that just hurted me. That yeah. always hurt me. And yeah. it was just yeah. not for me. Yeah. And I think I've always known that it was not right.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had no choice but to accept it.
Yeah.
And yeah. it's just, I've just known that it wasn't for me. Which is...
Yeah.
I get that.
Derek, you're getting a big bear hug after this one. You don't know.
Definitely. Yeah. It's going to be a group bear hug.
We're going in.
If you run, we're going to chase you. We're going to chase
you. Elevators. They don't come that fast.
Yeah.
I'm good at running away from you. I'm good at dodging
you, motherfucker. No.
I resonate with that so deeply when like your home just doesn't feel like a home. Yeah. It's like the craziest feeling because it feels like it's so disorienting that like when your home is like mostly exterior, so like it's other people, and mm-hmm. so like your sense of even your sense of self or your sense of belonging is just not tied to a thing or tied to things or things around you in the same way. It just changes the nature of how you go about your life and go about even discovering what is your sense of self. But I think like as you get older, it is nice to be able to like try new paths and try new like little rituals, I guess, in that sense of just trying to see where that love can be found. Because I think the whole reason that we live life in general is to understand and know love in general and all its forms and understand its effects when it's fully effective and what the lack of it feels like so that we can understand the importance of it.
And it's never too late.
At one point,
even like the workplace, it felt like home.
Yeah.
In the beginning, and over time, then it's, I was like, this is not how it should be.
I felt that too.
Like, I understand that. No, I had asked that question because, you know, as we get older, as I got older, I realized that there were a lot of things that were going on in my family that I saw that were not normal. You know, drug abuse, drugs, guns, things like, it's not, I don't want to paint it like I had like, mm-hmm. like this, Scarface kind of life. It's not like that. Not at all. But there were things that I had to realize that weren't normal, you know, that were brought in due to, older people brought these kinds of things into my life and introduced me into things. And I was never, I don't think it was very hard to work to forgive for that, but it did come to a point where, you know, you have to, there's a point that you have to come to in realizing that your parents, and all the older people in your life are just that, they're people.
Yeah.
And what you may have been lacking as a younger person, they might have been lacking too. Mm. And so, you know, there has to be room for forgiveness. And I think I got that in an early age, you know, because nobody's perfect. And this shit doesn't come with a manual, you know. So I was very, you know, but I still, as I was getting older, and even like earlier this year, some things popped into my head. I was like, oh shit, that was on a regular, and that is not what a child is supposed to go through, you know.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because you know, just because it may be abnormal, it was still my normal, you know, and still some of the things that helped shape the person who I am today, and I'm learning to be proud of that, you know. And I'm also learning to not, well, I know not to hold it against people, but, you know, with certain people, it is sort of a process. It does take time, but that's why I asked that question. But thank you for sharing.
I appreciate all you guys for sharing, to be honest, because, that's tough to, like, even admit. And then process of forgiving is, like, also really hard, too, and just having a forgiving soul in general is tough because it's just, like, it's cliche, but it's not for that other person. It's really for you so that you can create new experiences. And I think I found out through like the process of like grief of like in general that like love is abundant. And the problem is that like in grief, it's surrounded by like what I lost, and you kind of get stuck in that mindset, but it's also like what I had, and it's just, or what I have. So it's also kind of like embracing the point that like without that point or without that instance, like I would have no reference. And I feel like that's just like the art of like having a reference in something, having a reference point, having a kind of origin that kind of paves the rest of the way. But like that origin point adds and enhances to like you as a person.
Enough of grief. What's making y'all happy nowadays? Like
what makes me happy?
What's bringing you joy?
The proximity to starting a new chapter and the ability to, or I guess I'm just very appreciative and grateful that I was raised in like a house that told me that the boundaries for looking and thinking of things very large and like grand, that it was all pretty much like an illusion, that something was out of your reach. It just takes steps and it just seems like things that are oftentimes like gawked at as like something that's impractical aren't practical. And it's just like that type of like ability to not only do that for yourself, but also provide that access to people around you is like one of the biggest joys there is in life in general.
I think what's currently making me happy and what's made me happy for the last almost 5 years is, well, not that whole time, but the fact that I get to wake up next to my soulmate every single day. The love of my life. Love you.
I knew you were going to say that. Y'all are so adorable. I fucking love you guys.
The person that brings me the most unbridled happiness that I've ever felt. Unconditionally, too. Because when I think back at my life and when I was younger, I had that, but there was always something missing. There was always some type of tension, you know?
Yeah.
But now I can wake up and at least for those first few moments before we have to, you know, get ready and bustle off to work, things are serene. Or in those couple moments before our dog jumps onto the bed and just aggressively kisses our faces. My mornings start off pretty great these days. And I'm really happy about that.
That's very aww, beautiful, man.
That's so beautiful.
And what makes me happy is I have the ability, the freedom to basically do anything that I really want. And it just goes, it's only, the main reason is like, I can literally just book a trip somewhere and I would be free to go.
Yeah.
And yeah. I love having that ability to do all that, which is both good and bad because it's like, yeah, I can do all these things, but I feel like I'm always missing something if I do these things. But I'm still happy that I still get to do anything I really want. And I'm also really happy to have people there who, my friends.
Yeah.
They've been there for me and I'm really grateful for them. And I'm also grateful for all the people that I've met who've told me their stories and just allowed me to live a life that I may not have been able to live. Honestly, I don't really have many happy things to say. So,
I was going to say, you know, you have a new friend here and you have two old friends here. So hopefully, I mean, you know, we can help you change that and work on that. And you have more happy things to look forward to in the future.
Facts.
I have to say, breaking that up, it's been a while since we've gotten the chance to interact, Derek. And the change that I see between that last time and now is mind-boggling. Like, you've always been a really solid person, but the way that you've evolved between then and now is something really amazing to see.
Should we give another round?
Fuck it. We'll give another round. Yes.
Thank you.
You deserve it.
God damn.
No, I appreciate it. And then, like, I'm going to give you my number. I'm going to give both of you guys my number. I'm always a text away. If you need anything, let me know.
I was going to also ask, because I didn't think about this until now. Because the year is about to come to a close. Currently, as this episode is being recorded, we're in November. By the time this posts, we're in mid-November. It'll probably be the ass end of November. And maybe the FUPA end of December. Who knows?
FUPA end.
How do you guys feel like you've changed throughout the year?
Are we just going to gloss over the FUPA end? Okay, cool. We're just going to keep trucking along. That's fine.
I mean, we can talk about the FUPA end. You know?
No, it's
the
fine.
FUPA is important and it needs love. Every part of the body FUPA needs love. And you've got to caress that nose. But no. I was going to ask, how do you feel like you guys have evolved throughout the year? Because it's something I haven't really thought about until now. And it was kind of a hard question. I'll go first so you guys can marinate on it. And it was kind of hard at first, but I realized, and it's funny that, you know, you were talking about self-help books the last episode, because that was one thing that kind of helped me grow. Wanted a self-help book. And I'm like, gonna actually listen to it. It was one. It was on my nonfiction list, but I'm going to re-listen to it because it's such a good book. It's All About Love by Bell Hooks. And that's sort of one of the things that it's kind of like my therapy without going to therapy, to recontextualize how I grew up and how I think about love and how I define that for myself and how I want to define it going forward, you know. Because I've been really, like, I've been, ever since I've had, this big changes from leaving the last job I had to moving from the Queens to Bronx, I've been on a real big self-development kind of thing. Like, I mean, I'm always on it, but now I've kind of like, I'm about to be 40. Like, I need to, I'm feeling like I need to do more.
Still surprises me.
Yeah, that's fine. I know. Great.
But audience, you can't see, but this is a beautiful, lovely man.
Yes.
Barely looks a day over like 20. He looks about my age. I look older than Trent right now.
I appreciate that. You'll shower me.
I would not think that either.
With compliments. But no, and I've really been sort of, that's how I've been growing. I've been sort of looking more at myself and figuring out what I want. I mean, I still don't really know, but I know that the things that I am doing now, I love, like, especially this podcast.
I love this podcast.
It brings me so much joy.
Such a beautiful museum to visit, man.
And every time we have people on, I feel like it gets better and better, and it makes me feel great about what we're doing. But yeah, any answers?
Reflecting. I think I had the most productive, unproductive year, as I said.
That's what you set out to do.
That's what I set out to do. I definitely did it. I had for context for people that didn't hear, but for the end of our last year's episode, I was like, last year, I dropped the album. I was just still doing all that stuff towards creating something bigger. And this year was a step back and was a reflection of the progress that I made, some of the gains that I have to do, a lot of it was just kind of closing out chapters. And this was kind of closing out chapters because I already learned the majority of the lessons that I had to for this stage of life. And now it's like a new horizon, a new adventure. And it was learning how to be comfortable with learning the lessons of life very thematically. And as opposed to like a hero's journey where it's like concrete, you start from a status quo and you start from brand new. This felt like a thematic kind of growth of just reinforcing themes of love, of growth, of self-care, of understanding, and not necessarily being embroiled in a kind of, this is a checkpoint of growth, and kind of releasing that and just being like, no, I don't need checkpoints of growth. I just need to just be happy with time passing. And I feel like slowly kind of maturing into that, mm-hmm. and just being also just gaining an ability to be in charge of things and being able to help others and actually know what I want out of life and be able to like push back when somebody's like, no, this is not where your life should go. It's like, no, I believe I care. I can give you something that you can believe in. And it's just like, just the power to do that and just becoming more cemented in myself was my biggest growth for this year.
I have to correct you on something. You didn't just come out with the album. You came out with a fucking great album.
Thank you.
It's
going to be a cult classic. I'm telling you.
Whenever I hear Have You Back, like, it automatically flips my day. But I'm sorry. The floor is open, gentlemen.
This year's been difficult.
Yes, it has.
For a reason I'm not going to go into, because I'm just not
ready. Don't have to, but yeah. I know this, and you're going to get a big bear hug after this episode.
Yeah.
And you can run, but I'm faster.
You also work at the same place as me.
Yes.
yeah, I get to look at your beautiful bald head.
The back
day.
Of my
head. Yeah, it's great. But yeah, this year started off extremely, actually, the worst year of my life, to be perfectly honest. But the way it's ending isn't conducive to that, which is good. Mm-hmm. There have been highlights, but all I can do now is look forward to the future and hope that next year's better.
That's fire, though.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just maintaining that hope is the most important thing you can do. And
I mean, hope is... hope will never die in me, which is a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel stupid and naive for having so much hope, but like there's so much evidence to have it.
You need that though. And I also want to say on record that you've made my year better. You helped me get out of the sky prison. And I just want to publicly thank you. Put that on record. And I love you for that. And yeah, you're a great friend. And if it's any consolation to your year, you've made my year better.
I appreciate it.
That's so funny.
I'm going to cry on one of these episodes one day. I know it.
You already did.
Hey.
Oh, wait. No, that was
me. That was me. Hey. Hey.
That was me with my mom's story.
Y'all got me. Y'all got me. It was a very beautiful story.
What's going on? How we growing over there?
For me, this year has been the best year it's ever been. And I say this every single year. Like,
nice.
For the past few years, every year it keeps getting better and better. In terms of growth for myself,
that's
like
far,
if you knew in the beginning of this year, it was actually a terrible time, my life one of the worst. And, but then moving forward from then, I still did things that I wanted to do, that I've always wanted to do, and didn't let it hold me back. Things such as getting my license. I finally got it.
Hey!
While not living at home at the time.
Shouts out to being able to drive.
Thank you.
New Yorkers have an issue with that. I still don't have my license.
Same.
Yeah, because I've always wanted to learn how to drive, and there was no other person to do it other than myself.
Yeah.
So despite having home difficulties at the time, I still made the effort to actually still go and get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm pretty proud of myself for that. I also went on my first solo vacation by myself. That I went on to. And that was really...
Where'd you go?
I went to Washington, D.C. in January.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, this is kind of scary. But at the same time, it was really fun because I felt like I had freedom.
Wait, January what?
January, it was freezing. Oh. It was snow.
What was the date?
Do I have the date?
Let me see. Cry. It's flying over his head right now.
I took the train over there.
No.
Did you? So, did you stay the night there, or was it just?
I stayed there for like a few days.
That's
like
dumb.
A week. Cry. Well, I see you on video on Capitol
Hill.
Still
trying to find out. Wait, no, hold on. Because this is straight up flying over Derek's head. Well, let's end the suffering. Were you there before or after the insurrection? Because that was like...
It's a what insurrection?
Oh, wait, no, that was in 2020.
Yeah, that was in 2020.
I'm fucking dumb.
Yeah.
But like, that's okay.
It was funny, though.
I did see a
funny.
Protest happen.
It did feel like last year, though.
I'm like going 4 years in the... Bro, I think I'm tired.
That's fine. I've been doing it. I've been keep saying 2004, 2003.
That's funny.
Yeah. But no. Tell me about that, though. Because I remember going on my first one, and I was like, yo... I have the key to the city right now. I can do what I want. I'm not held down by somebody else complaining, all that. Like, it was fucking lovely. Like,
yeah.
I loved it.
Like, I booked my hotel by myself. I checked in by myself. I went outside and did whatever I wanted. And it was just so rewarding, fulfilling.
Right? So liberating.
Exactly. Because it was my own vacation I've wanted to do. Because growing up, I always went on vacations with my family.
Yeah.
And they always did the exact same thing. And it never felt like a real vacation. And for once, it felt real. Aside from the ones I went with my friends 2 years ago. Like, this felt real. Something I genuinely wanted to do. I'm on my own timing. And it was just so liberating and fun. But I wasn't working at the time, which is why the month after... I came back to the prison.
To the sky prison.
Yeah, re-enrolled to the jail to get
to the sky prison. Hopefully, there's not a part three.
Oh,
but no, that's.
No.
I don't know. I guess that's one of the dopest things about getting older. You make your own money. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Like, I love that. Like, I honestly love getting older. Like, that's
the freedom.
Like, a lot of people shit on it being older, but it's great. Like, the more, oh my God, I'm so sorry I muted you, Derek. So the older you get, the more knowledge and skills you accumulate. And you'll never, if you're doing it right, you'll never stop learning and you'll never stop growing. But,
that's smart. Exactly.
I have yet to go on a solo vacation in my life. And I probably won't now because, you know, I'm married and we're one. Yeah. So.
That's fine though. Might as well do. You got your better half though.
Yeah, like, you should still do a solo trip. I think it'll be interesting.
I go on a vacation every single day,
away from your wife, and then you come back.
Just the vacation of life with my wife.
Oh, great. That's fire. That's
nice. Shout out to Steven's wife for making him so happy. Y'all met on. Can I say
where you're
at?
Yeah, I'll go.
Y'all met on Tinder, which is crazy.
Wow, that is crazy.
Because I've been on Tinder dates, and yo,
just don't work. Little tip for those for the gentlemen. Just do the swipe everyone method. It works. First I'm on the podcast, the story of how I met my wife.
This is funny.
I am dead serious. Any of the men listening will know the plight of being on Tinder. Anybody that you swipe on that you're interested in, chances are you ain't matching with that person.
True.
Yeah. Not going to happen. True. So yeah. I got some advice from a friend at the time that's like, you know what? Just swipe them all. Whoever you match with, take a shot.
And
it worked.
Spray and pray.
On low key, that may be the best way to use it, technically. Because... Yeah. It's a marketplace, because they try to form it like a marketplace, and instead of being a marketplace, have a all-you-can-eat buffet, you like what you like, type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True. And it worked.
Yeah, nah, I gave up on apps. I'm good.
They're not for everybody.
Unless you are genetically blessed and you're really like good looking, then it's gonna be really hard.
I mean, Trent is all of that, and it didn't work for him.
Yeah. I don't know. I think dating apps don't incent. The main purpose of a dating app, for just structural reasons, is to keep you on the app keep on paying for that subscription. So there's no incentives for you to actually like have good matches or actually meet a partner. So I tell people that it's best to try to meet people if you can, by doing things that you like to do. Similar, like doing a trip, like things that increase your vector for new experiences. Leads you to meeting people outside of your path.
Absolutely.
And like, kind of like that bus situation. If I didn't do this path, I would have never met this person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, like, I met Amalia through like just taking pictures, because I just was on a thing of taking pictures, and then I was able to take pictures, and I happened to go to this one event, and she was just like, hey, you're cute. And like, you know, I think her friend came over to me and was just like, I think my friend says like you're cute, like can I get your number so I can slide it to her? And she was just like, and then we ended up going to the same party.
Nice.
And it was very funny, but you never know. So if I didn't go to that party, if I didn't take that chance of just following and pursuing something that, for me, photography is not my main thing. I do music as my main thing, but it just reinforces. So sometimes just even going with your artistic pursuits in terms of like this podcast, like going to a museum and then just happenstance having Trent there, and then me, Trent, Lucas have a conversation. It led to this type of moment. Now I meet two more people, and it's like, it just increases your vectors for meeting and congregating with people that you actually can see yourself caring about and like wandering and actually wanting to discover more people. Mm. And it's just like, that's how most things, that's how you get away from that alienation, by just trying new things and increasing your vectors of paths. It's not like every time you stray from your main path, you're going to be like meeting the most new or having the most new experience. It just increases your probability in the grander scheme of things.
Real quick, before we close the episode out, I want to say shout out to all the girls I went on Tinder dates with and Hinge dates. Y'all are awesome, and I hope you're doing well.
Shout out to all the girls I met online. They were great.
You found whoever the fuck you were looking for. But anyway, I'm not bitter at all. Before we go, Steven has a story to tell.
Oh my god, finally. He said
finally. Take it away, Steven.
This is completely off topic, but it kind of ties into to the previous episodes of our discussion about reading and how books can impact the world, and also kind of what we were just talking about and how like the butterfly effect of things could lead to crazy stuff. And it's time for everybody to put their little conspiracy theory hats on a little bit.
I'm a little like Sixth Sense.
Because I'm about to tell y'all, again, way off topic, but hey, we going here. I'm about to tell y'all how 9/11 led to the downfall of Ellen DeGeneres.
Wow. Wow.
Interesting.
All right, so it goes like this, right? This is freaking wild. I'm getting like real Alex Jones on here, where Joe Rogan like kind of shit.
Fun fact, Alex Jones is from my hometown of Austin, Texas, and he's been doing this for a really long time. Since the 90s, he was on cable access. But anyway.
Fun fact, his podcast just got bought by The Onion, which is hilarious.
Wow.
Anyway. All right.
Fun fact, fuck Alex Jones.
Anyway. So back on track, right? All right, so follow me here, right? So on the day of 9/11 when the towers got hit, right? Mm-hmm. At the time, not so well-known gentleman was on his way to work on the Staten Island Ferry. His name was Gerard Way. Gerard Way, for those of you who do not know, is the lead singer and founder of the very popular band My Chemical Romance.
Oh, okay.
Mm. The events of 9/11 scarred him so much that he went on to found the band My Chemical Romance, right?
Yeah.
My Chemical Romance got so popular that it then, you know, spread far and wide, the band, right? And their music became the main inspiration of a little-known author called Stephanie Meyer, who wrote the Twilight books.
What?
Massive inspiration for the Twilight books was My Chemical Romance. The Twilight books then, again, butterfly effect, went on to become so massively popular that it spawned a bunch of people to create fan fiction of the Twilight books. One such fan fiction ended up becoming what became another very popular book series, 50 Shades of Grey.
I remember that. I unironically watched that.
Follow me here, right? 50 Shades of Grey.
What the?
50 Shades of Grey then went on to become so popular that it became a movie. And the main actress of 50 Shades of Grey was Dakota Johnson, who got brought on to Ellen DeGeneres' show a couple of times, where she was the first person ever, celebrity ever, to call out Ellen DeGeneres for not being such a good person. And that led to other people who interviewed with Ellen DeGeneres to start being like, you know what? I've had some pretty shit experiences with her too. And literally caused her downfall.
Wow.
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 That's a solid argument. I'm sorry. Wow.
All right. Hold on. Because, all right, I'm taking it away. There's another little tangent in there that splits off, right?
Okay.
When Twilight happens. This is another kind of branch of this crazy craziness, right? Twilight becomes popular, it becomes a movie series. And, you know, Edward, you know, the whole Edward Cullen thing, everybody loves Edward. He gets played by Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson hated those movies so damn much that he decided he wanted to set himself apart and started doing a bunch of different movies that, like, were pretty good, including one called The Tenant, or Tenant, that he got really popular for.
Ooh, yes.
That, at the release party for Tenant, he met the very well-known director, Christopher Nolan. And as a gift to him, Robert Pattinson gave Christopher Nolan the autobiography of J. Robert Oppenheimer, which is what in turn inspired Christopher Nolan to direct and create one of last year's most popular movies.
Wow.
Butterfly effects are crazy.
Wow. What the fuck?
Wow.
Butterfly effects
are crazy. Wow.
Damn.
Damn.
Wow.
I'm taking my aluminum hat off now. I'm sorry.
All right. Wow. We're going to sit on that. And we're gonna close out the episode. Shout outs, thank yous. I'll go first. Shout out and thank you to all the parents out there for trying to, even though you don't have all the proper resources, but trying to fill your children's and the children of the world's life with love and all the good things in life, you know. And also, I know I said fuck Alex Jones, and I stand on that. He did some really fucked up shit.
Yep.
To the victims of Sandy Hook and their families. So, yeah. But anyway, I know I'm normally a peaceful person, but no, we don't support that shit. But yes, also, well, shout out to my dad and my aunt and my stepmom, who've all passed away. But shout out to y'all for showing me what true love is, and that's acceptance of self and people around you. Derek, shout outs, thank you.
Shout outs to everyone who's always been nice to me, and honestly, everyone I've ever met ever in my life. Like, no matter what or who you are, regardless, I probably remember you. And whether for good or bad, everyone has helped shape me and helped me become who I am today. I tried my best to take everyone's good parts and just become one with everyone. So just shout outs to everyone who's just been in my life.
Shout out to my younger self. It gets better. Hold on. You'll be okay.
That's fire.
That is.
I like that.
My shout outs, shout out to everyone on Good Nature Souls. Y'all have been carrying me through. Y'all have been giving me mad hope, and just shout out to myself for when I was younger and just persevering to the point where I am today similarly, and to words and the power of them and the power of like love and nested within those words. And exist altruistic. That's my thing.
Nice. And shout out to you for listening. You've been a very ritualistic, invisible audience. Listen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You are now tuned in. Just remind me of my old mixtape. With the one and only. So heavy. Prince the Prince. One day, hey. Just remind me of my old mistakes. So heavy. Boy, I was down bad in my own mistakes. So crazy, had to make through now that boy on his way. Joy, I know it's coming, man, that's what I always say. One day, just remind me of my own mistakes. So wavy, boy, I was down bad in my own mistakes. So crazy, had to make through now that boy on his way. Joy.